Our sermon text today is found in the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 7, verses 24 through 36. Listen for the word of God in this story. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First, let the children eat all they want. He told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she replied, "but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis, the 10 cities. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on the man. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone. But the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks that you are the great physician, that you are the healer of all diseases, that you are the one in whom we can place our trust. Help us to meet you in these moments, so that we might be transformed and moved forward on our journeys of faith. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Two different stories in this passage. Two different stories of encounter with Jesus. Two different stories of someone whose life was transformed because they met the Savior. Two different stories that take place outside of Jesus' normal territory. This is one of, if not the only, time that Jesus ventured outside of the land of Israel. He was going away for a retreat of sorts and couldn't find some time to himself. The people kept finding him. He's north of his homeland and does a couple of miraculous healings. First, the Greek woman, a Gentile. She is not a Jew. The text is very clear about this. She was born in Syrian Phoenicia, so think Syria. That's kind of the right direction. She approaches Jesus, asks him to heal her daughter, who is possessed by a demon. This is really kind of confusing, and whatever we think about demon possession today is necessarily colored by our culture and our science and our technology and our psychology and all of the other things that are part of our environment and that affects how we read this story. Whatever this issue was that was in this woman's daughter, though, is not the main point. Jesus heals this daughter even without having seen her face to face. He heals the girl through a rather confusing and maybe a little disturbing conversation that he has with this girl's mother. Jesus makes a rather cryptic statement. It is not right to take the children's bread and give it to their dogs. At first glance, it seems like Jesus might be comparing this Gentile woman to a dog. And that doesn't sound quite like Jesus. We don't expect Jesus to call other people dogs. But he said this thing, so we have to wrestle with it. And there are a few options. Some people will say, well, clearly Jesus could not possibly have meant this in a negative way. Clearly he was not insulting this woman by calling her a dog. So it must have been a test of her faith. And that's fair to say, well, I'm not supposed to be going to other people. Jesus said this at various times in his ministry, that he was sent to the lost sheep of Israel and not to Gentiles, not to non-Jews. He's known for saying that a couple of times. It could have been a test of her faith to see if she really believed that he could heal her daughter. Other people will say, well, the word dog that he uses here is kind of a familiar term. It's not a street dog or a wild dog. It's a household pet, and that's true. It's a diminutive term. It's a little dog. And so maybe he's using actually a term of affection or endearment to refer to her. And maybe that's fair. Other people will say, well, Jesus was, after all, a Jew. And he was raised as a Jew, and if we're honest about Jewish culture in the first century, there were certain stereotypes that Jews had about other people groups. So maybe he just came by that idea honestly. That's a little unsettling to think about. But the way we interpret Jesus' words to this woman, I think, says a lot more about us than it says about Jesus. And the preferred solution that we gravitate toward says a lot more about how we relate to people who are different from us than about Jesus himself. But that's not the point of the story either. The point of the story is that Jesus healed this girl. And there is no indication in the text itself that there was any kind of offense or problem between Jesus and the woman because of this conversation. They have a close connection, and it leads to the healing of the daughter. And that's what Jesus is all about. Close encounters with people who need to have him in their lives. He is all about abundance of life and transformation for those who pursue him. And so the second story follows right on the heels of the first with those same themes. A man who has no ability to hear and a very muddled ability to speak. It's like his speech is impeded in some way, is brought to Jesus for a blessing, and what he receives is so much more. Jesus touches his ears, his tongue. He speaks a beautiful word that is in Jesus' own language. We only have a handful of these words in all of the New Testament where the Aramaic language that Jesus spoke is recorded for us, in transliterated into Greek and then translated into English for us. He says a beautiful word, Ephphatha, which just means be opened. And of course it could be a call to the man's ears and mouth to be opened and to speak and to hear. It could be a call to the heavens, to God, to the Spirit of God, to be opened and to fill this man's life. I read a commentary this week that suggested a third idea, which I kind of like. Jesus was calling not just the man's ears and mouth to open, but his whole being, his entire self. He looked at the man and said, "Be opened to the presence of God, to the movement of God in your life." Jesus was calling this man to receive the abundance of life that he was offering. Hearing and speaking are just physical manifestations of a deeper reality, a spiritual abundance, a full-bodied healing that is available to all who encounter Jesus in good faith. And that's the key phrase, in good faith, because these stories follow right after a couple of stories of people approaching Jesus not in good faith. The Pharisees began this chapter by challenging Jesus about cleanliness, ritual purity. His disciples had not washed their hands in the ritual hand cleansing before a meal, and the disciples said, "Don't you observe the law like good religious people are supposed to do?" The Pharisees were not ready to be opened to the reality of abundant life because they were locked into a mindset of controlling their spiritual and religious lives. Even Jesus' own disciples, in the same chapter, his own disciples didn't quite understand what he said when he said that it's not what goes into a person that makes you unclean, but what comes out of you that makes you unclean. He would probably say the same thing to us today. Good religious people, we say, often avoid certain negative behaviors, and that's how we talk about holy living in a lot of settings. That's not the only definition of holiness, but it's often what we have gravitated toward. Don't do this, don't do that, stay away from these things, keep yourself clean, and it's all very external. But Jesus said that evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly, all of those evils come from inside, and those make a person unclean. That's what Jesus said to his disciples, even when they didn't quite get it. Jesus is interested to transform people from the inside out. He wants to bring freedom and wholeness and release and liberation and abundance, holiness for all people who seek him out in good faith. Jesus, as the Savior, as the Messiah, brings healing for all who seek him. There's an important phrase at the end of this story where the people comment and say, "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." And that is a deliberate statement by Mark, calling back to Isaiah, the passage that Leslie just read for us from Isaiah 35, where the promised Messiah, Isaiah wrote 600 or 700 years before Jesus arrived, the promised coming Messiah is the one who will do these things, and that will be the sign that he has come, that God has come into this world to bring healing for all, to transform all who approach him in good faith. To all who respond to his command to be opened. Ephatha, to be opened, is a command that we need to continue to hear and to respond to over and over again. When you feel alone, and if you feel that God is distant, Ephatha, be open to the reality of God's presence with you and in you. When you are angry or afraid or hurt or lost, Ephatha, be opened to the presence of God. When you feel like your words or your actions or your life don't matter, Ephatha, be opened to the presence of God that validates and gives life to you. When you are tempted to be greedy or selfish or prideful or arrogant or envious, Ephatha, be opened to the reality of God who calls us to lay down our lives so that others might live. When you are tempted to behave in ways that do not please God in terms of sexuality or abuse of others or self-harm or drug abuse or alcohol abuse or pornography or anything else that does not bring abundance of life, Ephatha, be opened to the presence of God in you and with you, and who calls you to live abundantly and not in ways that diminish life. Be opened. Recognize that God is present and that the abundance of life that Jesus brought in the Gospels is the same abundance of life that he offers to us today. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, never to die again. We believe that Jesus is real and living today, glorified and ageless and ruling over all creation. We believe that Jesus is the perfect embodiment of the love of God. And we believe that Jesus continues to share his love with us by bringing about real transformation in the lives of those who encounter him. Encountering Jesus today is certainly not the same as it was for that woman and that man, recorded in Mark 7. Our encounters with Jesus typically are more spiritual in nature, but they can also be physical. They can be spiritual encounters as we experience internal openness and abundance of life that Jesus provides. And they can be physical encounters as we receive life and give life through tangible actions with other people. Scripture refers to us as the body of Christ. And so when we interact with each other, when we help each other, when we give life to each other, we are being Christ for those who are in need. You can meet Jesus in your private prayer closet, or you can meet Jesus over lunch with a stranger. You can meet Jesus in the midst of contemplative prayer, or while giving or receiving help around the house. You can meet Jesus at church and at work. You can meet Jesus at youth and at school. You can meet Jesus at the park and at the grocery store. You can meet Jesus anywhere when you respond to his command to be opened, to be awakened, to be healed, to be made whole in Christ. Your reading exercise for this week, as a way of reinforcing Jesus' command to be opened, ephatha, is something that I've summarized on a slide here. Karen, if you'd show it. It's easy to remember. 6:30 to 8:30. I'm not talking about time. I'm talking about scripture. Mark 6, verse 30 through Mark 8, verse 30. But it's easy to remember that way because you think, oh, that's maybe you could try this between the hours of 6:30 and 8:30 sometime. But sit down with these two, three chapters and read them all in one setting and watch for these themes, because they happen in order twice through. And it's very deliberate that Mark does this, because he's pointing to a reality of who Jesus is. Jesus feeds a crowd and then crosses the lake and then warns people about the Pharisees and then chastises his disciples for not having a clue. And then heals the sick. That's the story we've read here in Mark 7. And then is confessed as the Messiah. Someone proclaims, this is the Savior. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Those themes happen in order, starting in Mark 6:30, up through the end of this chapter, Mark 7. And then they repeat in exactly that same order through Mark 8. Now, what might be the emphasis of this? For Mark, what is he trying to lead us to? It might very well be that very last point. All of it culminates. Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior, the one that we have been waiting for. And if you read ahead to the very next thing that happens after Mark 8:30, Jesus starts talking about his own crucifixion. It all fits together for Mark. Jesus as the Messiah catapults his way to the cross, healing people and calling people to abundance of life along the way. So too is his call for us this day, to be opened and to be healed as we pursue him in good faith. Let's pray together. God, we give you thanks that you are righteous and that you are just and that you bring healing. We call on you, Lord, in the midst of difficult days for many of us, stressful times, hospital visits, funerals, and other kinds of events that we don't want to participate in. But we call on you, Lord, to remind us of your presence with us in these days. We don't call on you to be present, because you already are. But help us to be opened to your presence, that we might walk with you and live in your light, so that there might be hope and joy and love and peace all of our days, and that we might bring glory to you through how we live. Give us grace to know your presence, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.